Hey guys, and welcome to another podcast of ours of Fans of Power, the only weekly dedicated podcast dedicated to He-Man, She-Ra, and everything in between. I'm Brian Ozone, along with my good buddies Joe Amato and Tyler Baker. What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
I'm on top of the world, man.
On top of the world. Look at you on the North Pole. All right. Sounds good. So we're going to kick this week off with give the mic over to Joe. And I know Joe's got a couple of things he likes to get off his chest. Okay. And Joe, take it from here.
Okay. Well, for anybody out there that maybe hasn't seen this yet or know of it, there's a Kickstarter project going on. It's called The Power of Grayskull. And it's going to be like a documentary that's going to encompass probably just everything you can possibly imagine. They're going to try to interview people that worked on the toys, the original cartoon, the comics from the past up until the present. But I mean, this is going to be something amazing. Just to let everybody know, there's only 4 days left for this this thing to, for you to back it if you haven't backed it.
Now, this is a Kickstarter, you're saying, right?
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter project. I mean, if you go to Kickstarter and type in Power of Grayskull, it'll pop up. But these are guys that they worked on other, documentaries like Turtle Power and Nintendo Quest. I mean, it's amazing things done by Rob McCallum and Randall Lobb. They're doing this, and it's just, I don't know. Have either of you guys backed this project yet? Do you know about it, or have you backed it?
No, this is the beginning of the first time I've heard of it, and it's something I'm very intrigued by, actually. Anything to deal with Grayskull, He-Man, She-Ra, the whole universe, I'm 100% behind. So okay. I am definitely all ears right now, Joe. The floor is yours.
And I mean, that's what's amazing about it is, this has been going on for at least just about over a month, and not everybody has known about it. And, that's why I've been trying to share as much on Facebook and through Twitter, everywhere I possibly can. But, I mean, it still needs to be reached in so many places. You can go to a lot of the He-Man themed, websites or Facebook or anywhere. And sometimes it's missed. Sometimes you just don't catch it at the right day.
Right.
That's why I figured we'll do it here, try to promote it, see if people could then, hey, check it out. You got 4 days left. They have a lot of cool and they have a lot of different rewards from, getting, the DVD or a Blu-ray and just a lot of extra stuff if you go there. But like Tyler, did you back it, Tyler, or did you know about it?
I knew about it when the teaser dropped. That was my first time hearing about it. And, I had to wait till I had I got my tax return to make the donation that I wanted to. So I made mine. I think it was Saturday night, this past Saturday night, and I'm hoping that they get enough money to where we get an hour long bonus material just on the live action movie.
And how cool would that be?
With interviews with Will Stout and Gary Goddard, and I want bonus features.
Gary Goddard's a part of it.
I want to say I thought he was on the list of people they were interviewing, but I know William Stout, the guy who did a lot of
That makes it well worth it because, in case fans don't know, he was the director of the 87 movie and, he had a lot to do with that. And I believe he's a fan himself. And if he's got his name attached to it, it's going to be something that's going to be well worth the excitement.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're trying to get, it's just like we're saying, as many people as possible. So that's why, I mean, the more money they get, the more they can do, the more people they can find. And I mean, this all, like they're even offering things to fans. Like if you pledge a certain amount, you could even appear in the DVD as well, or whether it be, if there's so much content, it might have to be downloadable, but they could, whether it be through Skype or maybe, if they're in that city and they can actually do an interview with you in person, but depending on what you pledge, you could actually appear in it. So this is reaching for all fans. I mean, people that created from the fans in general, it's just bringing everybody together to make one amazing documentary.
And we got people like Rudy Obrero and Errol McCarthy being interviewed in this thing. Yes. I mean, guys who did some of the most
beautiful
artwork for this. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to hear what these guys have to say.
Wow. They're not pulling out the stops on this one, man. They're really going for the gusto, man. They're going for the, the guys that were part of the 80s, the wave of the cardbacks and the artwork on the boxes.
Box art, things like that.
Yeah, the box art. That's the word I'm looking for. Right. Thanks, Tyler. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a great idea.
They got people who worked on the Filmation show, like Gwen Wetzler, I think that's how you pronounce it. She was one of the directors on the Filmation show.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just to name some of the names, and because I looked at the list the other day to kind of refresh myself on that. And I mean, there's some stuff that I could sit and watch a solid hour of hearing what this person has to say about He-Man. Like, just an hour and a half of Errol and Rudy talking about the artwork and what was their inspiration. Just a full hour of that, let alone the development of how the line started. And I want to hear an hour and a half's worth of the 87 line of figures, like Clamp Champ and Mosquito. Like, what was your inspirations for these figures here? I mean, an hour and a half of just rattling on about these characters.
That last wave of characters, sure. And then, like, the following waves, which we didn't get that I know that Errol McCarthy did the card back art of, that I've seen, like Strobo and some of the Snake Men and
what could have been, like, huh?
Yeah, exactly. What could have been, you know, stuff that could have been great to own.
Yeah, they're also
like Powers of Grayskull. Like, where if that's the
exactly
thing. I don't care what anybody had to say about where the line was going when it got canceled.
Yeah,
you know, give us some backstory on Hero and Eldor, and like, you know, what did all did they have planned? I mean, they mentioned, you know, pieces of it here and there. You can find it on various websites and things, but here's some good in-depth details about that stuff. And New Adventures, man. I mean, it's like the black sheep, but that's the kind of things that interests me.
They are going to talk with Jack O'Lesker too.
Yeah, Jack O'Lesker is listed on there too. Yeah,
awesome. He's an awesome guy to deal with. I've spoken to him many a times. He's a great guy, and he had a lot of if only we had one more season of that of New Adventures and they brought it back to Eternia, just the possibilities of what could have happened, you know, with Skeletor coming back and trying to dethrone Jitsu at the helm at Snake Mountain, and you know, what could have occurred then. It just would have been crazy.
And they're hitting MYP too. They're also going to cover MYP and a lot of the people that worked on that and the cartoon, like, voice actors.
Yeah, so the Horsemen are being interviewed.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's so awesome about this.
Wow.
Like I said, it's just giving us everything, and no matter how many times.
Do you have Joe and Tyler? I mean, do you have any of the info to for the Kickstarter donation? I mean,
I just go to Kickstarter.com and just look at Masters of the Universe, and that's what comes up is that.
It comes up,
or you could just type, or if you just go to Kickstarter, just type in Power of Grayskull, and bam, that brings up the project. So that's
now,
what.
Joe, I like it better the way I said it.
Yeah, you know, it is pretty good, but I'm going to say Power of Grayskull. You're so
but I do like the way that how Joe said bam, you know, like he's Emeril Lagasse, you know, so.
Yeah, he's going for more glitz with his interpretation of it.
I know.
I'm like more meat and potatoes, you know?
Well,
I'm a meat potato guy myself too. So,
Brian, you got it. Like I said, if you can, you know, you got 4 days to do it. All the fans out there, like I said,
without a doubt, I'm definitely gonna support it. I'll give what I can, without a doubt. And to our listeners, please, make this fruition. You know, make this come to life. I mean, this is something that, you know, it's not only just one aspect. It seems to me like it's the entire life of Masters, from the incarnation to the present of everything. So it'd be something really cool to for it to come to life. And is it a book? Is it a movie? What exactly is it, guys?
Well, it's a movie. It's a documentary. I mean, that's what's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, because no matter how many times, like I said, we've read stuff that maybe some people have said online, just to now see them in person or just to hear what they have to say. You know, it's just like the same thing with books. Sometimes people don't read the books. They like listening to the books. I mean, there's just something more – there's a better experience, I guess, about watching and feeling like you're living with what they're saying.
Well,
And especially knowing that, you know, we've had a movie that's been in limbo of being made for 16 years. Well, this is not going to be in any kind of limbo. This is happening. It's going to happen. But the more that it's back, the more money they make, the more good stuff we can get. Like they said,
well,
you know, that's what we want, because it's a great to see the passion of fans do this, because like I said, it's fans who are going about doing this so they can travel the entire world or wherever they have to go to interview all these people and involve other fans. And that's what's all I love, seeing the passion of fans. So the guys that are doing this, you know, I thank them from the bottom of my heart for what they're doing.
I agree with you. I mean, it's the first that I'm hearing of it, but from what I hear of it in this past few minutes, I mean, this is something that needs to be made. As a true fan of Masters of the Universe, this is something that needs to be made. We need this. It has all aspects of everything. You know, MYP, New Adventures, Filmation, comics, artists, card back artists, toy box artists.
The 87 everything. Movie. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Goddard, you know, the man behind the movie. I mean, you know, I can't get enough of his interviews, because if his budget was more, I mean, just imagine what the type of movie we would have had. If he was at the helm today at a movie, it'd be priceless. I mean, we would finally get the movie that we've always been waiting for. So
that story alone, just telling the making of that movie, I mean, that alone, hearing it in depth, I mean, from beginning, middle, and end of how, like, Canon Films was interfering with the production of the film and things like that.
It's a debacle.
Oh, my gosh. It's a fascinating story.
I mean,
we got to hear more of it.
I honestly believe that if maybe Sony had them or 20th Century Fox had the rights to the movie back in the day, things might have been a lot.
I don't know. Sony probably would have cast He-Man as a girl or something like that.
Yeah. You would have had Spider-Man.
Doing with Ghostbusters right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to get into that. There's nothing wrong with that. Not that I'm being sexist or anything. But
I'm not either. But you know,
some things need to be made. Some things need to be set the way they've always been. Sometimes I'm not open for change in certain aspects and things. And the Ghostbusters to me were four guys from New York City that, you know, and you know how the movie is. So
yeah, well, it speaks for itself. It's legendary. It doesn't need us to carry the flag for it. It does its own.
Yeah, and Melissa McCarthy doesn't need another movie. I think she's a terrible actress.
She'll just be falling down all over the place being loud and obnoxious and can't hop over stuff because that this cheap humor.
And well welcome to the Ghostbusters podcast. I'm Joe Amato.
That's a mindless rant. It's going to raise my blood pressure if I keep talking.
I know. I was like, I better get you two off of it because I know you guys are going to flip on Ghostbusters. So remember where to go. Go to Kickstarter, type in Power of Grayskull or Masters of the Universe, as Tyler said. Either way, you'll find this campaign. Back it. You got 4 days left from when we put this up, which will be up. It will be on the 22nd when you hear this for the first time. So 4 days you got. So
that's amazing. It definitely sounds worthwhile. And
just watch the teaser trailer. That's enough to get you wanting to give money to it.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, guys, trailer. if you're true He-Man fans out there and you enjoy listening to the show, I mean, this is something that you might want to get behind. You know, this is something
The smallest donation they have is even $1. Just to back. I mean, every little bit helps. I mean, so you'll see, there's a lot of different rewards, but go ahead, check it out, check the rewards. I'm even part of one of the rewards. I haven't even really mentioned anywhere. You'd think I would have said it by now, but I will offer my custom services for one of the rewards. So fans out there, if there's a figure you might want made of yourself or something from Masters or anything, I'm part of one of those projects. I just usually, it's like I said in the last episode, I don't usually self-promote myself, but in this case, it's part of this project and it's one of the rewards. So you could check that out and I'm
with you. Yeah, and that's always well welcomed. I mean, it's for a good cause. It sounds like it's for a great cause.
Definitely.
Moving on. What else? I know, Joe, you got quite a few things that you'd like to get across this episode. So, with that being said, with the Kickstarter, what else? I know that we're gonna get into Prince Adam. We'll get into him after the break.
We'll get into some good stuff. But I was gonna bring up a couple fan projects, because that's what I mean. This whole beginning is almost talking about what fans are doing for Masters, which, you know, are keeping it alive in one form or another. It's amazing. But it brings me to a guy named Karsten Klinch. And excuse me. He's been working on something. He's been working on a comic book project that is based off of one of the German audio plays. And as you know, the German audio plays, they were something you listened to, you didn't see. But of course, in the United States, we never had a clue about them. But what right. he did with a form of almost like Kickstarter to have people support, to pay for him to do something, all the money went into him creating this amazing piece to give back to the people who, you know, gave to his project. What he right. did was turned the third audio play of one of the German audio plays into a book, and it's called Assault on Castle Grayskull. It's an unofficial
film. Now, that's based on one of the audio books, or
yeah, the German
is
one. Yeah, the third German okay. audio book, if I'm not mistaken, it was number
okay.
three. But what this guy did in these couple years, because, I mean, he was a one-man machine. He sat
right.
there. I mean, he penciled it, he inked it, he colored it. I mean, he did
wow.
all the texting. I mean, you know, the text bubbles, the word bubbles, whatever. But what he did is, since you never seen what this stuff was, he had to use his own mind to create what he thought some things looked like when they would describe things, stuff we never seen, whether it's, you know, some kind of crazy, you know, robotical creatures or traps or unique new characters.
He now, does he speak fluent German?
Oh, yeah, he's from Germany. Oh, yeah, Carson's from Germany, but
okay, okay.
But yes, and he speaks English, and there's the German version of this, and then he has an English version of the book, too, that he had translated. And if you go to Facebook and check up Masters of the Universe Audio Comic Book Project, you can find it, look at some of the stuff, and contact him, talk to him about it, because
right.
I've never seen – that's what I mean. I love seeing what fans can do. I've never seen something this great, and this art – is fantastic. Karsten is one amazing artist. I would love to see him work on, if they ever did anything else with, you know, DC or stuff through Mattel with any kind of mini comics, anything. This guy would fit perfectly because his styles, I mean, they really are, it's so many. He does anything from something that looks like a cartoon.
Has he shown any of it?
Yeah, if you go to that,
you know, like work in progress or stuff.
Oh, he showed work in progress. He showed actual panels from the book just to give people a taste of it. And like I said, it's on the Masters of the Universe Audio Play Comic Book Project. It's on Facebook. But you can see this guy's style. It's just – I've never seen so much of what somebody can do. I mean, he can do, you know, the 3D computer-generated stuff. He can do painting.
Wow.
Do you remember a while back when it was a couple years ago when we were like trying to do the save the line and always promote the classics figures to make sure you know, got your subscription in case it had to reach the
movie. Right.
Well,
right.
He did some of those short little cartoon animations. I don't know if you remember them, but I was part of it. Like I was voicing Sky High because everybody knows how I
ramble about. Yes, I do remember that.
So this guy does cartoons. I mean, it's just his artistic skills are limitless.
So he's behind that as well.
Yeah, he did that as well. So this is an amazing piece, and I would hope that, you know, in the future maybe he could work on even more, translating more of these German audio plays and turning them into books, or
yeah.
a company, you know, picks him up to do something for some of their, you know, projects. But like I said,
yeah, well, he'll definitely need help if he's a one-man band. I mean, he'll definitely need some help.
Yeah, because that's why it would take a while. I mean, you picture doing all of that, doing the penciling, the inking, the coloring, and creating out of your head what you think, you know, think things look like. And this is also, it's a whopper of a book. It's 82 pages.
Right.
It's a monster.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And he put little.
Now, is that front and back, or that's just single side?
Oh, it's front and back. I mean, it's just like a regular comic, you know, front and back.
Wow.
I mean, everything. It's just. It's an amazing, like I said, amazing project, and you can see all the love and effort that went into doing this. And he's got a lot of hidden Easter eggs, a lot of homages to, you know, other things that might have been done, you know, like hidden Easter eggs and stuff, you know, cool things to find. So it's a fun project, and anybody out
there. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it definitely does. It sounds like he's taking on a big responsibility of doing something as cool as that. I mean, I definitely give the guy a hell of a lot of credit for doing something so cool.
Yeah, and I'll even try to share some links, you know, to his page and stuff, you know, on, you know, the Fans of Power Facebook
yeah,
page.
Yeah, definitely, you know, to put up a teaser or something, you know, just to show the fans of what they can get. I mean, because, again, if this is another Kickstarter, I mean, you know, this is stuff that we as fans need to start getting behind, because it doesn't seem like we're getting anything anywhere else. So, any little bit helps from anybody.
Yeah, because it's like I said, it's been done, but like you said, in case there would be other future projects he might do through Kickstarter, or however it may be done, in whatever form, just people need to see what this guy can do, and they'll love to see it. So I'll share, like I said, you know, the link to his page, so you can check him out and, you know, give it a look to see what you think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure it's time consuming and, you know, all that other good stuff, especially if, like, you know, he's the only person behind it, you know, the inking, the drawing, the penciling, and the dialogue, and
yeah.
I mean, it takes up a lot of time.
It does, but it's well worth it when you see it. But
yeah,
so that's that project, and the last one is it's another cool fun one. Again, what fans can do to keep things alive in their own vision. There's a guy named Matt McGill that he's been putting. It's called Masters of the Treehouse, and he's has this on Facebook.
Excuse me.
And yeah, he's been sharing on Facebook, and he, like I said, that's the name of his Facebook page, Masters of the Treehouse. And it's a version of, you know, the Masters of the Universe as if they were young kids, but kind of, but it's like Earth-based. I mean, they're like four to 6 years old, but it's just seeing the ideas that come out of people's heads. It's like, because, you know, Adam, you know, he's, how it starts off, you know, you'll see some of the pages, but it starts off for some reason Adora is in the hospital. They never said why she's in the hospital. He gets like a little Christmas gift and ends up being a little, you know, cringer, a little, you know, that's how he gets cringer as a Christmas gift. And you find out Skeletor, he's going by a different name. It's before he's Skeletor. It's like when he's Keldor, but he gives all these, he gives these unique different names for each character. And like Skeletor is like a spoiled brat and he wants everything the Masters has. And he wants that tree house fort they have. It's just every Friday he posts an update, but he's up to, I don't know if it's maybe 6-8 pages, but you'd have to check this out because again it's like seeing what comes out
yeah,
of
yeah no it sounds and he, fun
yeah because
this
he
is won't, this is definitely stuff, Joe, you need to throw on masters of fans of power.com. I mean, just let the fans know about it. I mean, get it out there. You know, there's nothing more than the word of mouth. You know, once you get out, you know, from one person to another, to another, to another, and so forth. So, I mean, you know, I would love to get as much fan art, stuff like that out there. And you never know what can come of it, you know. It can get picked up from Mattel.
Exactly, and it's just like I said, it's just always great to see what the fans can do because they just keep it alive through their own unique stories, visions, or taking stuff from the past and converting it finally into books. I mean, whatever it is, I love seeing this passion. But yeah, because this the bios he does for these characters for this Masters of Treehouse, it's just nuts. But again, I'll give links to all that on Fans of Power and All Encompassing Masters page and Pop Culture's page. I mean, I can share them everywhere just so everybody
Yeah, don't forget that we also have the we have a Twitter page. You know, the handle is Real Fans of Power. We also have Instagram page, Fans of Power Instagram page now too. So you know, we're expanding our horizons. We know we're trying to get out there as much as possible to share all this stuff, you know, all the visuals with our fans that listen. So you know, there are outlets out there that we can get it out to you guys so you guys can see it.
Yep. And with and like you said, with Prince Adam and how we just mentioned Adam, you know, maybe we'll take a break, and when we come back from that, then you guys can lead into what we'll start talking about with Prince Adam, because that shot, I mean, it should be interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right, so with that, here's a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, guys. We're back from commercial break. And so without further ado, we're going to talk about today's character. We're going to talk about the many incarnations of Prince Adam from his days in DC, the mini-comics, the Star Comics, the NYP Comics, the Filmation Comics, and so on and so forth. And I guess I'll start off. My favorite version of Prince Adam, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is the DC version from the 3-part DC comic book that we got. I love the womanizer, so to speak, the Viking-esque speaking style of him, with the blue vest. That's my version of Prince Adam. I just love that character. I just love the version that he portrays. I think it's the best version that we've had yet, as of yet. He's not like the doofy, let me run and hide and, play stupid to be in Randor's dumb, doofy son that doesn't want nothing to do with the crown, and let me hide the secret of being He-Man. I just really enjoy the version of what we got in that 3-parter. The character is really cool. He's not like the Clark Kent, so to speak. Not have a tan so you can't recognize me, you know, like when he becomes He-Man, he has a tan and, you know, he's completely unrecognizable. To me, that's my favorite version. I think it's a cool way to have him portrayed. Tyler, do you have anything to say about that, or do you have your own versions of your own way of thinking?
Well, I have to say, now that we've heard Brian's lies and false comments about the version of Prince Adam that I so much adore here, it's time for these people to hear the truth.
Uh-oh, back up.
Speak the truth, my brother. Speak the truth.
It's like someone gagging back the gentleman who can't stop talking about, you know, my particular version of Prince Adam here. I can't wait. It's like, coach, let me in right now, man, because I'm ready to steal this game.
Coach. I'm ready to play today.
Ace Ventura wearing my tutu, man. Just give me a chance. man, I'm not going to do this in super slow-mo, man. I'm going all out here.
Go ahead, Ace. Hit it up.
Just all kidding aside here, Brian's version of Prince Adam is a much enjoyed version, too. And really, there's not a version of Prince Adam that's done poorly, in my opinion. I mean, it's different ways. I will say the MYP version is one I can't stand, simply because I think he's portrayed as a lazy putz. You know,
right.
it's like, you know, if there's really trouble going on, he doesn't say, oh boy, we got guard duty. Oh boy, this is great. I'm gonna sit and eat an apple right now or something like that. It's no. You know, there's a lot of things you can say about the Filmation version, whether you don't like the color scheme of the character or you don't like the voice.
You don't like the pink?
Huh? Well, I mean, it's like, well, technically, I mean, it works well, you know. It's I'm not saying I would personally wear it, but, you know, well, that outfit, I wouldn't mind wearing it.
Well, shit, there goes your birthday gift.
What's that?
I said, there goes your birthday gift. I got to rethink that one.
But still send me that pink vest. I'm sure I could still pull it off.
You can do it.
You know? But no purple tights, though. I can't wear that. But Filmation, Prince Adam is my particular version. I like John Irwin's interpretation of the character. I think for the most part, the character was portrayed pretty strong, especially in season one. And it's not cliche, but I think Prince Adam No More kind of sums up that particular character. You know, it's kind of like with like Spider-Man, like, you know, you can do certain things, you know, you can outsmart, you know, you can, you know, take down certain characters. You know you can do all kinds of things, but you can't. There's too many lives at stake. There's too many answers that can be, you know. So, you know, you do have to, like, I don't have time to tell my dad, you know, look, I'm sorry, I'm going to turn into He-Man and save the day here, because, you know, otherwise your life is at stake, Mom's life is at stake,
Right.
I'm not worried about Tila, you know, someone shutting her up permanently or something like that. You know, because he can always, you know, take Frosta for a bride. She was hotter anyway.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And I just, that's always been my particular favorite one. I always get excited watching Prince Adam take off, knowing the transformation sequence is coming. I think when he's written and portrayed very well, that's always going to be my favorite version. There's nothing really wrong about New Adventures. It's not very memorable. It's
almost not needed, right? Almost like almost, it should have been
like in the mini comics where the character Prince Adam's kind of written out completely.
Right.
He-Man is in, like, and honestly, that probably would have been fine moving them to another location. And all the versions of Prince Adam, the mini comics, the DC 3-part miniseries, the original 4 mini comics, the Star comics, it's all kind of the same, even though he's definitely portrayed as a more, you know, like Brian said, a more serious womanizer, even though he has done that in the filmation and in other forms of media also. But don't really want to say it's the version that I grew up on initially. It's just the one that I really enjoy going back to is John Irwin's portrayal as Prince Adam.
Sure.
That's a good way of looking at it. Although I have to say I do like the Prince Adam version in New Adventures, although the character himself is not needed in the entire series whatsoever, but I do kind of like the way he looks,
and it fits the look of that series, what they were going for, you know.
Oh, yeah,
that kind of, you know? Yeah, that kind of Bible looking feel show. Yeah,
right. He feels like the Hanna-Barbera Bible show.
Yeah, kinda, with the Primus looking character, he kind of does fit in, but again, it's definitely not needed for the storyline. You really don't need a Prince Adam in that entire.
It keeps the mystery going. Had Prince Adam not been there, there would never be the idea of how come Skeletor can't put two and two together here. It automatically just keeps the mystique going that Skeletor cannot stop He-Man, even though he has no ideas. Like, oh man, I could just take out the, you know, Master Severian's, you know, nephew. Or I forgot what he's referred to. Merchant.
I think it's his merchant nephew.
Yeah, his merchant,
yeah, merchant nephew. Yeah. I should know that as many times as I've watched that first episode.
And you know what? That's
okay. We're all given one. You got your one per day.
And that's what's
not good enough, man. I gotta have that perfect record, man. You know me.
That's okay. Well, get ready for a lot of unperfectness when I talk right here, and including that word. I don't even think it's a word, but I just invented it if it wasn't one. So, here I go with my. There I go, my rambling. Now, what's weird is all that stuff, because I'll talk about my Prince Adam.
All right, so you're not, let's get one thing straight. So you're not the Joe, optimistic Joe right now?
Oh, no, I am. It's just
This is Joe with an axe to grind.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's just strange, you know, sometimes, because the whole
yourself.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's always kind of interesting, like I said, of Prince Adam in general. I've seen it said so many times where some people said, you know, he completely ruined He-Man for them. You know, I hated Prince Adam. I wish it would have been like, you know, the Alcala, the original stuff when there was no Prince Adam, which, you know, there's not many stories where there wasn't a, you know, Prince Adam. I mean, you have like, you know, those 4 mini comics. You had the 1 storybook. Some of them, maybe, if you will, you could say those early kid stuff, record books, coloring books. But everybody usually defines it by 4 mini comics. And I was like, you know, don't get me wrong, I love those too. But I was like, you know, don't limit yourself to just 4 books as being your entire history of Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's because that's the thing with Prince Adam. I think it's not really Prince Adam per se that they don't like. I think, unfortunately, it was the Filmation portrayal. Not that I had a problem with them, just like Tyler, I didn't have a problem with it. But that's what I usually hear people go back to and harken back to, is saying, I hated his interpretation of Filmation. Oh, it was terrible. He was too klutzy. He was too goofy. You know, I want He-Man. I want some savage feel. Which makes me think then of the DC 3-part and something else. I was like, okay, if you had that, would it be more acceptable? Meaning, in those, not just like saying, you know, not to keep saying womanizing, but no, this guy was kind of like, he was laid back, kind of didn't take his role as Prince too seriously. No. But, you know, he was just – he's laid back. He'd always maybe still want to get into a fight, but it wasn't an act. Now, in the cartoon, you could say that, yes, I mean, it's kind of an act how he has to do it. He might have to act a little frightened, to run off, bumble, not too much, because like you said, he really isn't like a doof, but it is different from the DC stuff per se. But it was more serious.
He's kind of playing like the Clark Kent Superman type thing.
Yeah,
to throw people.
You want to distance yourself as far away from your alter ego as possible, because if Ram Man is starting to catch on that, hey, how come I haven't seen you and Prince Adam in the same place? You need to start really upping the ante here.
Yeah, because if Ram Man's figuring it
out. I love Ram Man. You
know, and if he can figure it out, man, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just like I really got to amp up the fact that, you know, I'd rather be off, you know, laying down with two other women than people putting it together that I just went and just tore cloth off a new one.
Yeah, see, so in the cartoon, you're right. It is more of he has to create this Clark Kent Superman feel. But in the DC stuff, it wasn't like that. He wasn't having any act. This is who he was. He was the guy that, yes, you know, he came into the room with two women in that one scene and man-armed something like, oh, only two wenches this time, Adam, or whatever. And he's strong. Teela's throwing barbells at him. Of course, I was thinking, dang, you got to be strong, too, to be throwing barbell. And then he turns the barbell and puts it into a pretzel. So I was like, wow, they kind of weren't even really defining what we were knowing then, because Prince Adam is super strong as Prince Adam. And that's before he's going into the Cave of Power.
I think that actually gave the Aetherians a sense of strength. You know, like they're more of a stronger race than, you know, like a regular, you know, Earthling or whatever, you know, that we've seen in the past. I think that's what they were portraying.
They could have. And see, this is what brings me to the one thing, like earlier when you were saying, oh, Joe, are you going to say something negative? No, because like
I said, it's okay if you can.
Yeah, because like I said, no, here's the thing. Like I said, I'm always laid back. I always try to be cool with everybody. I'm never trying to say anything negative. And
so this is an act you're doing, Joe. You're really not the sweethearted, you know, good old wholesome Joe model, you know, American white bread and kind of things like that. You're really just a...
You got a black picket fence in front of your house instead of a white one.
I have a picture of the emperor.
It goes down to his lab in the basement there and it kind of puts
his
on
his last name is Palpatine.
Exactly. The emperor just feels the hate swelling within me. But no, so this is it. I had somebody, and trust me, I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. It's all just our opinions. But in one of the past podcasts, we're saying something about Prince Adam. And, you know, we're like, oh, did he, you know, come from D.C.? Did he come from Filmation? We're like, oh, probably D.C. Well, somebody sent me a message. And they said, Joe, you're really wrong with what you were saying. I was like, well, what was I saying? And they said, Prince Adam did come from Filmation. And I was like,
no, he didn't.
Yeah, well, here, no. This is what I'm going to get at. I was like, well, what are you talking about? They're like, he did. I was like, well, what about that, you know, the D.C. stuff? And they said, well, think about this. They said, in the DC comics, they said that came out in December, then January and February. And if you remember, Michael Halpern, he wrote the Filmation Bible in December of 82. So all they did was took his stuff from there in December and went to the DC comics. I was like, that's pretty interesting. I said, but what about the Superman versus He-Man comic that came out in July of 82? And the guy actually responded. He was like, well, remember back then, half the time when the stuff came out, it was months later. So it said July, but it was really around December. I was like, oh, come on now. You don't have to do this just to win an argument.
But yeah, now you're just nitpicking.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's cool that people can – like I said, you can go and find as much information as possible, but you sometimes, like I said, I'll come across people that they'll just want to demean me or demean others by saying, if you don't read or know a certain thing, you don't know it all. Like, you know, everybody wants to quote that Filmation Bible, which, yes, it's great, it's cool, whatever. But when we were growing up, did any of you, including me, did we read this Filmation Bible when we were?
No.
Like,
I
no,
did.
No. Yeah, you did. You were there writing it with them. But
it was in my elementary school library. No one else knew about it except me.
Yeah.
No wonder why nobody else had it, because you had it and
you
had it, sole possession.
That's right. So you're taking it like it's a history class, just like some people, I think, feel they need to. They think that if you did not read this Bible, you're less of a fan. Well, that's not true. I mean, it doesn't matter what you know. I mean, you love Masters, whether you have one figure read, one comic. If you're into it, you're into it. But they make it seem like if you don't know it, you don't know everything either. Now, here's the
thing.
That's
not true.
picture being like me, I got onto the internet way after like a lot of the big He-Man sites were out and when people were first getting on the internet and they were there.
Same with me. Yeah, same with me.
And the, of course, when that Bible was first mentioned and everybody's into it, they're hot, it's the main discussion. Yes, they're all going to know about it. But people that come late to the game, how would they know to look for something when they don't know this thing exists, if you see what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. I mean, I know, like I said, I've looked at it and read it too, but people sometimes quote these things and then sometimes they'll mix stuff and confuse it. And that's all I was saying was, no, the thing with Prince Adam, that was before that Filmation Bible was written.
Oh, way before.
Yeah, and Cringer
way
was.
Way before. It
was in there.
It was not a Mattel created character. It definitely was not
Yeah, because
he was well established before Filmation came out.
Yeah, because I think they said, you know, Michael Halpern said, you know, he loved a lot of things in mythology, everything from different sources, plus using what he got from other sources of masters just to bring something really cool. Because remember, Queen Marlena also was she was mentioned in the Superman versus He-Man comic. She was mentioned in there too, and Earth. So a lot of that was there, but yes, it was expanded upon and more. But it's just I don't know. Like I said, sometimes when people say stuff, it's just I don't know if it's me taking it the wrong way, but it seems
It just needs to be resonated in a certain way, and it needs to be examined in a certain way, and you need to actually like do like a timeline and figure out when and where everything was said and done, and you'd figure it out for yourself, because you know Adam was created well before Filmation got their kickstart. You know, they had their cartoon come out. Adam was definitely a part of Masters before it all, you know, Filmation had their cartoon. Maybe not in the same sense as they depicted him,
right?
But he was created and he was depicted in a different fashion. He was a part of it.
Yeah, they gave their own version, you know, like version to it. But that's what I guess I'd want to ask is, do you think, because I have a real cool friend out there. It's a Benali Canalis. I believe I'm saying his name right. He loves like the pre-Filmation stuff, the more savage stuff. But this is almost a question to him, but also to you guys. Do you?
That's my favorite stuff too. That does stuff too. I love the savageness. I love the sword and sorcery before the sci-fi stuff. To me, that's just my favorite part of.
Well, I have a question for you and Tyler about that in general. Do you think possibly if Prince Adam was portrayed more towards how he was in the early stuff of the DC comics, of that's who he was and not who he was acting to be, and with a little more of that kind of like edge, you know, do you think if that portrayal was in the Filmation series, do you think people would have a different interpretation of him who, you know, the people that hate him or don't like that? Do you think that would have changed your mind? I guess to both of you. I was just curious.
Go ahead, Tyler. You go first.
I think if he was portrayed as he was in the DC comics, I think it's too close to the character of He-Man himself. I mean, you don't see, you know, Clark Kent act like Superman. You don't see Bruce Wayne act like Batman. You don't see Peter Parker act like Spider-Man. You don't see, then there's not much of a difference between the characters there. You have to have, the He-Man allows Adam to really do what he wants to do. And it's the Prince Adam is like the prison cell. He's kind of stuck in until it's time to pull the power sword out and go into action. And that's what makes the stories interesting. It would get kind of a little, I mean, yeah, people might think, oh man, he's such a cool badass kind of thing. And that that's true. But the stories would get kind of stale if, you know, we're not seeing, you know, the difference of and the character change when the situation changes here. It keeps the duality. Plus, it makes the character more fun to have a very drastic duality, because you can sympathize with the fact that people are throwing bananas and tomatoes at Prince Adam because he has to take off, you know, to kind of keep Randor safe, to keep Grayskull safe. You understand the troubles he goes through, just like when people sympathize with Spider-Man or with Batman or Green Lantern or Iron Man or whoever your favorite superhero might be, just to name a couple there. It makes the characters more interesting when they're going through something that you may very well go through of being torn down because you're trying to do the right thing, but you can't tell anybody about it. It adds flavor to a character that essentially can almost do anything because He-Man is essentially like Superman in this universe. He is, you know, infinitely strong depending on how he's written. You know, he can take down anybody or he can struggle, but he also goes through the day-to-day thing of like, dear God, do I really have to know how to sit at the table here for a royal dinner with some, you know?
No, yeah.
You're
hitting the nail on the head, man, 100%. I mean, you need to have the separation of the two, you know? And that's what makes it happen. That's what makes it work.
Everybody has had to have, I mean, everyone loves Lyanna. Lyanna doesn't have a secret identity. Neither did Braystar or the Silver Hawks or members of G.I. Joe, except maybe Cover Commander.
Right.
But that's not really here nor there. But, you know, but with something like this, it's fun to see a character in this kind of element that has a secret identity. You don't normally see. Like Conan doesn't have a secret identity. You know, everyone knows this is the guy who put an axe in your head if you look at him wrong.
Right.
You know?
That's
who Conan is, though. But it's nice to see that this duality aspect of an 18-year-old, you know, young man that's given this extremely heavy responsibility just because he's told you are destined to take on this role, you know, and going through the day-to-day basis of, like, dealing with his parents, dealing with – you know, the do's and don'ts of being a prince. And then, like, oh, great. Now I have to leave the social gathering my dad is depending on.
Scareglow's
burning a village, you know.
Yeah, and dealing with a bitchy Teela, too, all the time. You know, it's constantly menstruating. It's, you know.
I never thought of that.
It makes it so much more interesting on the story standpoint, and
it's
not saying he has to constantly, and even Prince Adam said, I only do this stuff to keep my secret. It's not like he enjoys, you know, disappointing everybody, or, you know, I can't act too good at this. I could put Teela down with two swings of my sword here, but if I really do that, she's gonna think, where did you learn how to do that?
Exactly. And you know, you have the other point of keeping, you know, as a superhero, you want to keep a secret identity because you want to protect those that are close to you, as He-Man with his parents, with Man-at-Arms and Teela and whoever else is as close to him as anybody else. You don't want somebody with, like, Keldor or Skeletor or King Hiss, Hordak. You know, coming after him by going after somebody who he loves. You know, it all works hand in hand.
I think that's what killed it for me right there, what you just said, Brian. I think that's what killed it for me with the newer takes and the comics now and even in the mini comics and stuff about now, everybody knowing Prince Adam's secret. I was like, that killed it for me. It's like, why did you have to have this happen?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, okay, then what's the sense of even having Prince Adam? If everybody knows that Prince Adam's He-Man and they know that hypothetically I could just snap your neck and you're dead and then there's no He-Man, then why be Prince Adam? Why don't you just turn into He-Man and that's it? That's why it just I couldn't stand that when it was revealed. I was like, you know what,
I'm not a fan of that either. I don't see the sense in having him constantly being King Grayskull or King He-Man or whoever he is now. You know, it's to me, it doesn't make sense. You need to have an Adam. I have the hiccups, sorry. You need to have.
It sounded like a Looney Tune, like burp or something.
I can't get rid of him. You need to have an Adam, you need to have a He-Man, you need to have a Batman, you need to have a Bruce Wayne. You know, the only asshole out there was Iron Man and whatever his name is, you know, Tony Stark. You know, he was the only guy.
In the movies.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just stupidity. I mean, you need to save your loved ones' identities. You need to keep them safe as much as possible. And
because it's just one or the other. It's like you said, if they're going to have Prince Adam and He-Man in the same story, then keep the secret identity. If you're not going to keep the secret identity, then just get rid of Adam. Because, you know, some people just love He-Man as himself with no Prince Adam. But that's what I'm getting at. I guess if you're going to do one, just don't completely have it to where it doesn't make sense. And don't think that creates any kind of atmosphere or impact. Like, oh, God, it's like, well, where's the atmosphere? You know, because it used to be cool when, you know, Adam would have to run off. Like you said, when can he run off? When can he turn into He-Man? Because he's got to keep his, you know, his identity a secret because it could endanger his friends and family. Yeah. And but now that it's out there, it's like, it just, I don't know. I couldn't stand it. I was like, I would assume that there was just no Prince Adam in general. If you're going to do this story, just have it be He-Man.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I you know, you need to have one or the other, or I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, especially 30 years plus into this great storyline that we have, and now you're just automatically going to have King He-Man. I mean, it's so obnoxious to have, you know, King He-Man at all times.
Plus, it doesn't sound good to have King He-Man. It doesn't work. It kills the story. And there's just nothing, you know. And I know people probably is like, well, it does lead up to the spinoff idea of the Hero series by having a King Adam and Tila.
Yeah, because that's what we want, right? We want that. We don't want our He-Man that we grew up with. You know, let's just, like you said.
Yeah, well, you know, I would have loved to have the Hero Son of He-Man 30 years ago, the Filmation cartoon. That would have been pretty cool to have then. But, I mean, now it's just – I still believe it's the fallout of, you know, our good friend Scott Neilik. You know, just – you know, just to
it
fall
still could
out
be
of.
A genuinely good idea, but it has to be. You know, I mean, look at the simple idea right there. People, you can't have Queen Tila. Tila is supposed to go off to be the sorceress. Adam is supposed to take over the throne. They have a child in secret, and only a few people would know.
And they
about
both
it.
Have their what's it called? What's that word I'm looking for? Their
identity.
Their identity, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's ready for it told for them for the rest of their life. I mean, it's something that they have to deal with, and to have everybody know that it's common knowledge that it's absolutely asinine for everybody to know that.
That could be such a good story because you'd have Tila kind of looking on as Zoar watching her son grow up in the royal palace without a mother. Adam is raising Dare, knowing full well that this boy is going to take on what he did when he was 18. It's just you'd have this controversy of the parents, like, how do we raise our son, getting him ready to do what we know very well. Something that I'm going. Sorry, Brian.
No. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, if it's done right, it could be done very exceptionally well. Excuse me. I can't get rid of these hiccups.
Well, there ain't, like I said, there's nothing wrong with progression, like in stories, and it could be cool.
Right.
But I would still like it because, like you said, we've seen it within Marvel and DC. They have a lot of different, you know, alternate realities, universes, storylines. As long as we could keep them both, like still keep He-Man as we know in one story, and then another one if you want to have this one where it's an advancement of him aging. But go ahead.
But on the other side of the coin, with the whole thing with, like you just said, with Marvel and DC and everything, it's always reverted back to what we always known, you know.
It'll
shoot off storyline and they'll do their thing for a while and then that idea will stop and it'll go back to what we've always, you know, loved and grew up in to love. And you know, it doesn't make sense to just all of a sudden decide to have King He-Man and Sorceress Tila. I mean, I know it's the Sorceress. Tila's supposed to fill the boots of the Sorceress eventually and guard and be the guardian of Grayskull. But it just I don't know. I just, you know, it's just too much too soon. Maybe it needs to be done better. Maybe somebody needs to write it better.
And, I could do a series Bible for that. I mean, I have a full idea on how to set up that entire universe, and then somebody else
writing,
could.
Man. Get to writing. Let's hear.
I would. I have the full idea in my head. I mean, I think I could come up with something that I think.
Will you talk down? Hey, Tyler. Will you talk down to me if I don't memorize your series Bible and don't know it word for word? Then too.
Well, I can tell you right now, there would be no Biff, Beastman, and Evelyn Powers where they came from Earth in my series
Powers.
Bible. I'll tell you that right now. So if you're gonna follow the series Bible. It's like you do
it won't
realize
be, that this partner is working
Earthling.
For Skeletor over at LexCorp.
You know what's cool? And that's what's cool about that, what you just said about that series Bible in general. The things that didn't work for the cartoon that they didn't put in, they put it into some of the
Champions of Eternia.
Yeah, they put it into storybooks and some of the record books. Like you said, New Champions of Eternia, that's where we got Biff Beastman and
T.E. Scope.
T.E. Scope, Evelyn Powers, and they came with Queen Marlena. That was cool.
It was not cool.
Well, shut up. So anyways, and in that Castle Grayskull kid stuff book.
It sucked.
It was like there was the Castle Grayskull kid stuff book. There was one with He-Man. There was one with Skeletor. And I like kind of the description of how Adam and He-Man were in that. And they said that like when Adam would turn into He-Man, he would get like taller and bigger than, you know, Prince Adam. But of course, you know, in the filmation, you know, you got
to. And that makes sense. But that brings up a good point, too. People. And I hate people who like either look down upon the series in general because of like the animation of like, oh, He-Man looks no different than Prince Adam. I told Joe one time, it's like this is like picking on somebody who was put in the game who happens to have no arms in a wheelchair and is given the ball to make the last shot in a winning in a like, you know, it like the final game of a big basketball tournament. And
right.
You're gonna pick on that guy for losing the game. You know,
right.
They had no money, not enough money to do all that. It looks great. It's just like it's like picking on it for all the wrong. It's people pick on the live action move for all the wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just really think that if things were done a lot better with more of a in-depth story, that it just wasn't like decided overnight. Like all of a sudden, King He-Man. I think that if there was a storyline that went in depth and explained a lot more, and maybe it was more convincing to followers like us and others out there that are diehard fans, maybe it would go over well better. But no, to me, it just seems like it was just the thought of course, our great leader Scott Neilik decided, and you know, it didn't go over well, and I don't think it will ever go over well.
Well, like I said, a lot of that interesting stuff that, you know, when Tyler and I were talking about that series Bible that didn't make it in the cartoon but made it into the old storybooks, you know, it leads me to one other thing. This is what I mean when I say, again, I never demean people. I never talk down to people. And when I'm saying something, I'm just saying it just to give you some cool information. And I'm not trying to act like some all-knowing oracle. But there
right.
was a time
– Leave that to me.
Leave that to you. Yeah. Again, there was this time when I was bringing up one of those kids' stuff books, and it talked
right.
about the Hall of Wisdom, and it showed the Hall of Wisdom and how it became eventually they stored all that and became Castle Grayskull. Well, I just on one of the He-Man websites, I made mention of this, and I said, hey, a lot of people think that, you know, the Hall of Wisdom, you know, the origin came from MYP. I was like, but did you know that it was in this book? And then I showed the picture of the book. Well, after I did that, a couple days later, one of my buddies contacted me from another He-Man page and said, hey, Joe, somebody was like talking about you, saying you don't know what you're talking about or something with this article. And I was like,
no, you usually don't. You have no idea what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I'm a moron. But and I was like, okay,
who sold me out to you, Joe?
Exactly. It was yeah, that's right. Tyler was talking about me. But anyways, I go to the site, and this guy made this big article about me being misinformed, and doesn't he know he's saying that it originated from this book, but it came from the Filmation Bible? Again, somebody that has to study it like it's a history course.
That Bible,
but
I'm telling you, that Bible's going to haunt you to the day you die.
It is, because everybody quotes this, and then they're not hearing what I'm saying. So he was sitting there, and he said, yeah, it came from the Bible, and it didn't come from that book, and he needs to like be informed when he's talking about it. So I politely came into that thread that was being posted. I said, nowhere did I say that the Hall of Wisdom's origin was from this book. I said, sure, I know it was from the Filmation Bible. I said, but I was saying it was shown here, because even in the Filmation Bible, it wasn't shown. It was talked about. But I didn't say that the origin was from this book. I was giving people who, anybody who maybe knew and grew up with that would remember it. Maybe they could go and buy that book on eBay, whatever, however they can get it. But I was sharing memories of what we all know. So I explained that to him, and I said, and I apologize if there's any confusion. And this guy never responded back. Like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Oh, I know where you're coming from. Heck, even me being the guy that's always trying to be cool, I even friend requested this guy on Facebook, and then he just rejected my request. I was like, wow. I was like, first of all, you insulted me. Second, I politely said something.
That's not third, cool.
I was like, why would you do that? I'm not being mean.
That's not nice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, why? Yeah, some people take it way too
serious. That's why sometimes it's not worth offering your hand out in a kindly gesture. It's just let bygones be bygones. Let people think what they want to think. And
yeah, it's a shame. But I would never, like I said, I don't do that to anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't. I know it's not your nature. I know it's not your nature. But sometimes some people you just can't get across, and you know they're stuck in their own ways, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes they're misinformed and they think what they think. And so a lot of the times they're not right. You know, unfortunately, that's the case.
And something needs to be said about this whole argument over people, you know, slamming one canon or saying one is more definitive than the other.
Exactly.
Let's just get this right in the open. Mattel had no idea what the story was when this toy line was created.
Exactly.
They could not give you.
That's why I believe in the last podcast we spoke about with the Horde Golden Book was that they actually was given the prototype drawings. What are they called?
The concept drawings of the Horde.
Of the Horde to the Golden Books to be used, because at that point in time. Really, there wasn't much out there else other than the concept art, and that's pretty much what they used. And sometimes
Tyler, why don't you go with it real quick? Why don't you say what you were saying about like how no definitive thing, you know, what you were saying?
I'll start off with this. Like, I listened to a Paul Dini interview maybe a couple of years ago, and he was talking about his run on He-Man, and that when speaking to Mattel about the characters, when he asked, like, you know, who is Clawful? Who is this? We don't know. We don't know who any of these characters are. But this is the group of characters we have. We want them in episodes. We want them, you know, featured prominently in however you can push them. You know, and like in the series Bible, there were characters like Chopper, who eventually became Jitsu, and you had Lizard Man, you know, who eventually became Whiplash, and so on and so forth.
Right.
You know, everybody could pick and choose. I mean, you look at all the mediums to the entire original run of the 80s of He-Man. You had Filmation, DC Comics, the Mini Comics, the Star Comics, the UK Comics, the German audiobooks, the Golden Story books, from the large to the small ones. You had, you know, the magazines. Every single one of those medias did not have a consistent storyline, other than eventually there was a Sorceress, there's a Prince Adam, there's a Snake Mountain, there's a Grayskull. You had different factions, okay?
There's a Power Sword.
Everything essentially was different. And when the storyline started, we touched on this before, Stratus was working for Skeletor in one panel of the original Mini Comics. There was no clear direction. And you know what?
I don't mean to cut you short, though, In the beginning, the Masters of the Universe was actually the villains. They were considered the Masters of the Universe. So, you know, everything flip-flopped from time to time. And, I'm looking at the Castle of the Grayskull box right now. And, you know, you have Skeletor in the drawbridge fighting off the He-Man and them, you know, trying to keep them out of Grayskull. So, I mean, you know, everything's changed over time.
They can't flip-flop so much, and it's like, you know what? That's what makes this toy line so great. You know, Transformers pretty much had a definitive storyline. Turtles changed a bit, but He-Man always had something changing, and it's just like MYP came along and they did their own thing. New Adventures did their own thing, so did Filmation, so on and so on and so on. And what makes this whole property so great is that it's rich in different character portrayals, different storylines, different kind of timelines, and really
there
you can
are
make
so
it all
many characters.
Yeah,
so many characters.
And you can pick and choose, and that's great. Yeah. If you believe that the entire universe exists in the way that Alcala drew it, fine. If you believe that it only exists in Filmation, that's good too. If you believe that the She-Ra canon is the definitive, that's fine too. But to sit there and like throw darts at people that say, I like this version better, it's like, you have that right, because there is no definitive storyline.
Everybody has the right to believe in whatever they want to believe in, because that's their choice in anything in actuality. I mean, we live in America, man. You have the choice to believe in whatever you want.
It's like there's books from the 80s, like the Choose Your Own Adventure books. That's what He-Man is. It's your choose your own storyline with this. It all can work, or you can say, I like this particular version. You know, because it all works. It's not like, and you can pick and choose. If you want to decide that the events of the 87 movie also tied in with the Alcala storyline, you can do that. Because there is no Prince Adam in the live action movie. Sure. Because it's just He-Man. Right. There's no reference to Prince Adam. It all can tie in if you want it to. Or you can pick and choose. I like this, and I want to tie this in with this and leave that out. You can do that. Because really, whether you hate the bios or you like the bios, you like Golden Books or you hate them, it can all work if you wanted to, or you can all just believe it all happened this particular way, because we never got anything concrete.
Yep. Just don't kill off every single person from all the stories constantly, and I'll be good to go. But I'll tell you what, before we wrap it, this is my final question to you two, and it's my hypothetical. I like doing my what ifs. Now, everything I always say happens for a reason. And the MYP cartoon, the 2000X figures, they went away for their various reasons. But
we know very well what it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we know that. We've gone through
the word various.
Yeah, we've gone through that a whole bunch, but here's my hypothetical, and I think I'm going to get a different answer from both of you guys. If you had the choice of the MYP cartoon hypothetically continuing for like 3 more years, and they would have continued to make the figures, and it would have never went into Stactions, and they probably never would have made the classic figures, would you prefer to have had more of the MYP cartoon and more seasons and those figures? Or hey, that's how things happen. Are you glad that it went and came to an end and now we got classics? And it can't be a combination of both, one or the other. I'm curious to see what you both would say.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I when MYP came out, I was in total love. I loved the cartoon. I loved the upgrades to Evil Seed, to Captain Count Marzo. I just loved the whole entire thing. I just loved it all. I loved just the first 5 minutes of the first episode, when you had the beginning of Keldor about how he threw the acid at Randor, and his wrist turned into a shield and turned Keldor into Skeletor. I just loved the entire whole story. Figures. That's another story.
It's all together. So if it could, would you have wanted the cartoon along with the figures to continue? Because remember, classics probably never would have happened, because Fate, the whole butterfly effect, it never would have led onto the path where we're at right now. So this is just because I know some people love that cartoon, which I do too. But if you had the choice, would you have wanted the continuation of the cartoon with those figures, or just, hey, it had to stop to get to classics?
No, it had to stop to get to classics. Like I said, let me just finish my thought. I mean, as much as I loved the cartoon was great. The storylines were great. The figures, the upgrades, everything about it was great. All the nods to the Filmation stuff, all the great, spells and, just the emeralds and like everything we got from it was great. I just was not in the poses that the characters came in, like the figures came in, with the
kind of predetermined battle poses, certain positions they were like standing.
I didn't agree upon that with the knees being what's it called in battle poses with the knees slanted and they're in battle poses. I'm grateful for what came with the classics. I love the articulation with the classics. I love everything that came with the classics except for the bios, except for the Scott Nylick, all his entries that had to come in, all his characters that he included. I could definitely deal with any of those without any of those.
2000X, that was in your mind. That's how it's meant to happen. All right. And I think Tyler's is probably going to be so quick. I already know what he's probably going to say, but Tyler, what do you got to say? Go ahead, say it in probably, 10 words?
Go ahead,
do whatever you want, but I figured I know what you're going to say. Go on.
Well, I will say I'd pick for NYP to be over, simply because they did a lot of great things. They upgraded so many characters that needed to be upgraded and did them justice. Yeah. You know, like Brian said, Evil Steed, Marzo, Too Bad, Cyclone, Moss Man. They gave us a lot of, and we had some good fight scenes. They did a lot of good things right, but I think
I love Gar. You know, that was great. There was just so many cool things that they upgraded to that we needed. It was just really cool what they did.
But I will say this, because season two was notoriously known that Mattel really got their hands into the series at that point, because the first season was a hit, the toys were doing well, and you know, I think I was so grateful that we did get the Snake Men, but they were portrayed. It was like a bad, you know, wrestling pay per view where you get this bad. This is exactly how I felt, because that first episode when we see the Snake Men come out, they defeat Skeletor's forces like that. Okay, we are building this faction up to be. This is what we're dealing with here. The second season is like, these are the new badasses of Eternia.
Well, the Council of Evil was amazing. I love the fact that Skeletor got his guys caught, and I just love that whole fact. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was fantastic, and I would have loved had they dealt with that longer. But
yeah,
they killed off any kind of momentum that faction, the Snake Men, should have kept when they're defeated so easily by the great and powerful John Cena S. Zodak. Where it's okay, well, we're sending him back down the chasm, and then everyone's going to essentially commit suicide following King Hiss down in the abyss.
Yes.
Throughout the rest of the season, they're not considered much of a threat. And it makes me think that, okay, what would have happened had the Horde shown up officially? Because that was the plan. The Horde would show up, the Heroic Warriors, not Masters. Right. They would have gone into hiding. They would have been renegades. We would have gotten Clam Champ. I would have been absolutely ecstatic to get Clam Champ.
We would have also had the Horde Armor he had, which would have been badass. I saw the drawings for him. He would have been awesome to have.
That would have been fantastic. But I just feel like they were going to put all this emphasis on Snake Man at Arms, which I'm like, I cannot wrap my brain around the idea why that is such a heartbreaking concept that we must.
I don't understand why they always wanted to make him a villain. Why they always needed to make, like, even in New Adventures, they made him a villain. Like, why?
Yeah, it seems just like it's like another bad wrestling, you know, idea. We're gonna force somebody to become heel, and it's gonna be tragic. Like, no, it's not. You're gonna turn him, you know, face at the end of the series. No big deal anyway. So just simply based on where it looked like the show could have gone, because season two had a lot of potential.
Right.
Did have some good episodes, but it would have, I think, upset a lot of fans had Mattel kept pushing the spit bowl, you know, like a lot of blatant toy commercials and kind of ruining any that the show had. The Horde would have been great to see what Modulok would have looked like in this, to see the Horde duking it out with He-Man physically, but. That's just kind of how I feel. Like, you know what, if we'd have gotten any more, it may have upset a lot of us. It may have pleased a lot of us, because there's a lot of diehard 2000X fans, and more power to them. But me personally,
I think it became more of a commercial for the figures than anything else.
And like I'm all that, for like, seeing new characters show up in the show that are toys. That's perfectly fine with me. But I think also, like, we have to keep these characters built up. I mean, if you're going to introduce the Snake Man, have him take out who we come to know as, like, the top dog evil guys, like, right there in one fight, then they need to be consistently portrayed as something very serious, not just defeated because Zodak is like, I'm just mad because you ate my brother, kind of thing.
Right. Well, I'll go on the record, and I've always said this about characters, like, I just don't understand the reason why you need to change the race of a character. Like, you know, even, you know, to change Zodak to be in black and Carlton Fisk to be black and Daredevil. I just don't see the need of it. I mean, if you need more black characters, introduce new characters. Don't change somebody who we know and love for over 30 years and think that we're going to embrace him. I disagree with that whole concept. I didn't like that they did that. I would have much enjoyed the alien Zodak that they have art of. I'd rather him than the black Zodak. And I don't know. That's just my perspective on things. I'd much rather keep things the way it always has. And, you know, I just rather it that way.
That really didn't bother me too much. It was just really how he's portrayed. Like, he's not a cosmic enforcer. He's not the neutral character that kind of.
No, yeah, he wasn't.
You know, it's and I'm like, you know, he could have been a completely different character, or you could have called him Zodak. But I think he was too. I mean, it was cool.
He had a hidden agenda.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool to a certain extent. You know, I like how, you know, you could it all could have worked, but I don't think it was handled so good. Really, overall, I think it could have been handled a lot differently. I think he was more humanized than we come to know the cosmic enforcer type character.
Yeah.
And, but making a long story short here, I'm part of me at the time would have loved to seen the series continued, but I was so angry with how the Snake Men were portrayed. I'm like, I'm glad that we got classics. It is such a joy to have officially gotten characters like Hero. You know, we've got I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, of all these great updated figures with fully articulated body parts, they're big.
Now we get Darius, we got Mara, we're going to get all these produced characters that we never had before. I think it's a great thing. I mean, I'm happy for the fans of Pop that finally, you know, they finished they got all their figures. But you know what, man? I want my new adventures. I want my characters. I want that set done. I want all of my new adventure figures done. I want to see them in plastic. I want to see them complete the set, and I want them alongside the rest of my classics collection.
Oh, Brian, you're after my own heart, aren't you?
No, I am, and I know this character. I know there's people like you and I that agree upon this, and it's just not fair that, you know, people spoke up, they got what they wanted with Pop, and I know there's other people out there that want NA just as well as everybody else does. And, you know,
I mean, who can argue with how good these characters look? I mean, is there anybody that's really, I mean, I'm sure there always is. Anytime there's new reveals, there's always, you know, somebody that says, I'd rather stare at a urinal cake than look at this current reveal here or whatever.
Right.
But, like, to look at Tuscador, I mean, like, that is an incredibly well done. And I'm sure characters like KO and Vizar and the rest.
Oh, yeah, Nocturno. I mean, just
Quake.
Just
look, think the list Quake. Goes on and on. A massive boulder on his, you know, like attached to this kind of mace with his seismograph on his chest. A character like Quake and Hoove would look phenomenal.
Blizzor. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, Weapontronic or whatever is his other name.
Artilla.
Artilla. I mean, it just goes on and on of characters which they can make and make so cool now. I mean, it's amazing about how they have the technology to make these characters just look so amazing and so awesome now. I mean, it's a shame that if they don't get around to making them, that they should make them. It's just something that needs to be done. They need to make these characters. They really do. They really, really need to make these figures. They need to finish the set, the New Adventures line. They really do. It'll be a god shame if they don't get around to making them. There's really no reason not to make them. There's definitely a following. There's always been a following for them. And Mattel, make them. I mean, there's definitely people out there that will definitely shell the money out for them to have in their collection.
They will.
And I'm definitely one for collecting them. I definitely want them.
Well, Joe, what is your answer to your own question there? Since we definitely took a more
Well, that was kind of like my thing to you guys. I want to hear you guys go about it. My answer might actually shock everybody. It's like, I know things are meant to happen for a reason, and we would have never had classics probably if it continued. But I don't know if they could have did their figures like they did the Stactions, which I don't know if they could have, because I love those freaking Stactions. But Stactions, if the figures could have started looking like the Stactions with, you know, some obvious articulations, stayed how they were, and we could have got 3-4 more seasons, I'm somebody that might would have wanted that. And I know it's going to shock everybody. I'm probably getting everybody upset out there. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love classics. But you never know what other direction could things have went. Could we have still went to classics? Would we have went to something completely else? Would Masters of the Universe been so hot if it could have continued on TV that it could have finally kickstarted that freaking movie we were waiting for all these years? You never know what fate and what different, you know, like you said, reality could have happened from it all. In my mind, I would have loved it. Like I said, if it could have continued, maybe something even more nuts could have happened. But hey, like I said, it's just my opinion. I love classics. Don't get me wrong. Love them. But I would have, I wanted some more of that freaking cartoon, and I would have liked some more figures. Maybe that's the only damn time I could have got the Meteorbs. Did I just say that? Sorry, I did.
frankly, plugging them once again.
We need more attention on the Meteorbs anyway.
We need at least one made. I mean, test the waters. Make one, put it in, pack it in with another figure.
That's the thing. They act like there's not fans. I'm going to say this a million times. Just as there's as many New Adventures and Pop fans, which are more vocal, though, the Meteor fans are out there. I see them in a lot of groups. But half the time, yeah, they just don't open their mouth because they're probably feeling that they'd get destroyed by people talking about them, saying, oh, right, they don't like them. But all the other people, they got the same flack for New Adventures and Pop. People would come at them. You know what? Don't be afraid. Trust me, the Meteor fans are out there, and the people collect them. They love them. They still go, you know, for the old ones and any knockoffs. Those fans do exist. We act like there's some kind of, like, you know, burden upon Masters when, like I said, they were there. They had their comic. They had their appearance in a cartoon. They had great posters. They had their time, and they need to be brought back. It's not like they're just some subline. They are part of Masters of the Universe. It was emblazoned upon their package and on their comics and everything. It's just, I just get dumbfounded when people say it. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate when you say it'd be cool to get just one, but sometimes when I hear that, I'll hear that from a lot of the fans who didn't think they'd ever get their stuff. Like when fans were thinking they were never getting New Adventures or Princess of Power, sometimes people would say to them, hey, maybe, you know, you'll get some or something. Like, some? I want them all. What are you talking about? Yeah. And I was like, now they're doing it to me. Hey, maybe you get one. What if I told you, hey, you'll just get one New Adventures or one Pop figure? I mean, people would have ripped me to pieces. So it's like I said, just play fair. If you guys are going to do it all and show respect to them all, you know?
I agree. I would test the waters. I would put one in with whatever. Just pack one in with somebody. And see what the results are.
Sissify the size either. Don't make it some stupid small one like the original one. Make them in size comparison of what they'd be for classics. And like I said, the body of Cringer is a perfect size comparison to the originals.
Exactly. And I'm sure, classics. I mean, you what did you do? You bought Cringer and you had Prince Adam as the pack-in. I mean, you could definitely vice versa that. I mean, you could definitely have I don't know. It's just spinning off the top of my head. Have a KO figure and pack in a Comet Cat. You know, just something like that. I mean, it's something that's easily could be done and spitball from there and see what the reaction is to that. I mean,
I say start a sub and I'll sign up for it right now.
You're a good man.
Just well. A subline for Meteors only. I'm like, give me all of them. Give me Crocodile.
Yeah, how many are there? 12, Joe?
There's 10.
Yeah,
there's 10.
Five, it's just like I said.
Bad guys.
Yeah, because right, I mean, I'll.
You know what? I would even do two at a time, you know, just like the minis, you know, do two at a time, get your money's worth. I'm sure, you know, you can sell them for two for $20 or $26, however expensive they are now. I don't even care if they have the transforming ability, just to have them just as their
transformed mode, yeah.
Or
yeah.
You know, whatever,
pack the in with mini comics or something like that too, you know, it's like an extra bonus, you know. That's why, yeah, why Mattel could hire Axel to do more mini comics. We get the Meteor subline going there, and get courtesy of Joe Amato here.
Yep. Can I say, yeah, God bless you, Axel? I just want to say God bless you, Axel, man, for doing that for me, putting an Astro line in that mini comic. I was like,
absolutely, cool, man.
Yeah,
that was a good throwback. That was a good, you know, nod to you, nod to the not only to you, but just nod to the
fandom of those Meteor fans. Meteor lovers.
I mean, yeah, you know, to see that was great. I mean, I'm sure there's more than the three of us. I mean, I'm not the biggest Meteor fan, but I would definitely support it. I would definitely buy it, and I know there's others that would definitely go for it as well. Again, it was a part of the original vintage line, and there's no reason for it not to be included in the classics line. Somehow figure it out. Like I said, if it's two per pack, or you put one in with a figure, or figure it out. I mean, get it out there, test the waters, see what the fans like, figure it out. I mean, there's definitely a following. You're not going to lose money on it. People will buy it, and go for it. You know,
So we need to start a Kickstarter on that, you know. Along with this He-Man documentary, we'll start a Kickstarter for Meteor to kind of coincide with that there. And we'll add the money to the full horsemen
The thing is that we need Mattel on our side on that one, because Mattel would be the deciding factor on that, because they're the ones eventually that's going to be the ones that are going to be producing and making them. You know, it's something that I don't see them losing money on. It's something that will sell. I mean, if you can make a new Adventure She-Ra, I mean, you can make a Meteor Orb, you know?
Yeah, how the heck did we get that before we got a Crocobite?
Yeah, I mean, it will sell. You will make money off of it. It's something that will make money. It's something that will sell. People will eat it up. People will buy it. And it's something that they should look into, because there are people out there that, again, you know, you have people that are afraid to speak up because they're afraid of the criticism from others. And I don't see anything but goodness coming from it. So I wish Mattel would get behind it somehow, maybe have a poll on, you know, MattyCollector.com, or we can have a poll on fansofpower.com.
Well, heck, they ever did. Like I said, the He-Man World did one, and it was overwhelmingly people wanting Meteors. Yeah. I did that. I did a little campaign, one of those things, and those polls too, and it showed all the people that supported that too. And so they've seen all this stuff. I think they know there are fans out there, and plenty of them.
There definitely are. There's definitely people out there that definitely do want to see them made. There's definitely people out there that want them in their collection. They want them on their shelves. They want them next to their figures. I mean, get with it, man. Do it. Make them. I'll buy them. You'll buy them. Tyler will buy them. There's others that will buy them.
It'll bring me back. I told you, I don't collect classics no more. And somebody thought I was joking. Because, you know, I'm one of the most hardcore nuts as for collecting merchandise. But there was, I think, it was a couple of years ago, I said, if I don't see a Meteor but this one San Diego Comic Con, I'm done. And everybody thought I was lying. They said, Joe, you ain't going to quit collecting. And when they didn't show it, I was done. It's just my way of just trying to say, you know, it's show respect for everything, because I love absolutely everything too.
You're having your little silent, you know, your little boycott. Silent.
He's on strike.
He's on strike. It's my strike. And I'm not coming back until I see them. And if they don't do it, then that's it. I won't collect them. And then when they come back, I can get all those other figures off of eBay, even if they're inflated prices. I don't care, but I'm
or just customize your own.
Or just make my own. There you go. That's how it's looking. So I guess I'm going to have to do it.
You can get them for reasonable prices. They're not out there to the hardest ones to get, I'm sure you already got, like, Teela and Whiplash and Fisto and the Sorceress and, the original ones. Those are the hardest ones to get. The other ones you can get for reasonable prices.
I
can
come back any day to it, like I said. So if they give me the Meteorbs, I'll come back. Otherwise, I'm just going.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's other ones that are thinking along the same lines as you as well.
And my Super 7 figures and loving them, I'll be getting all that stuff. That's what I'm
going to do. And just to let everybody know that's tuning in, I did buy them yesterday. They did go on sale. I did order two of each. So you can go to Super 7 right now, and you can order them. They are up for sale as of we speak now.
And what
so
are they,
go
like,
there.
50 or how much are they?
They're 15 a pop.
That's awesome. That's a good deal. Awesome. Awesome art, too.
I bought two of each. I think it came out to like 107. So, cool. That's not a bad deal. I mean, it's not a bad deal at all. You're getting awesome artwork. You're getting awesome figures. And, you're getting your money's worth any way you look at it. So,
And you get your money's worth if we get Meteorbs, too.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, listen, Super 7, if Mattel don't get on it, you guys should get on it.
Yeah, you guys make them, yeah.
Yeah.
Be my heroes.
Yeah, you definitely make Joe and Model sleep a lot better at night.
That's right.
So, guys, with that being said, it's time for, the good old saying goodbye and a shout-out stuff, so we'll shoot it over to Tyler. Do you have anything to say to anybody? We'll kick it to you first.
I'll keep plugging Axel's artwork. He's done so much for me, and he's brought me a lot of joy. So I just want to keep pushing that the powers that be will hire his talents at some point and put him in charge of giving us the artwork that the fans deserve. Since Earl Norum and McCarthy and Obrero does a little bit for us here and there, but we need somebody who's as passionate as he is, giving us the images that the fans really deserve.
Yeah, he's right up there with guys that know the work and deserve to be up there and deserve to work for Mattel and give a good product. So
absolutely, and definitely want to plug the 87 movie if you haven't seen it by today. I don't want to know that you exist, but I really want
to
say.
Please still
that,
tune in.
it's been out on video and Blu-ray for several years now, and on VHS for probably about close to 30 years. So if you haven't seen it by now, I think you really. And I don't want to hear none of this bull crap of there's no Battle Cat and there's no Orko and all this other nonsense.
There's not.
So
I just want to say one thing about that is if you guys do get the movie or the Blu-ray, please watch the director's commentary because it does explain a lot. It does explain more than what one should know, and it explains a lot to the reasons why there were no Battle Cat. The what was it? Something like over 200 something movies Canon had at the time. So it explains a lot.
84 movies were in production for Canon. Watch the making of the 87 movie. It's 11 minutes long. It talks to Goddard, William Stout,
other
people who worked on it. They can give you. I mean, plus if anybody watch Electric Boogaloo, the history of Canon films, that will help show you too. If you didn't like the way it looked, there's reasons behind. It's not like Michael Bay is going behind and saying, Change this.
Right.
I don't like this. Right. I don't like that. It's not like they had a hidden agenda with this film. I'm going to do this every episode. I'm just going to plug this movie here.
That's your spiel.
I'm going to be the walking publicity machine for this movie.
That's it, man. Stick with it.
Mattel, we would very much like you to get the rights for the live-action film so we can get,
I'm surprised. I'll be honest with you. I'd be really shocked if they didn't have it by now because, not for nothing, Karg showed up in a mini comic. I truly am, in my heart of hearts, believe that they do have it. They're just waiting for the proper moment to say, hey, we got it, and we're going to make a sub. So that's just my two cents about that. So, Joe?
Tyler. Oh, no, those are my two plugs, and that's probably what I'll continue to plug, and at least as long as I'm allowed on this show here.
Oh, you're allowed. Don't worry about it, buddy. You're stuck with us.
You're stuck with us. Yeah, you're just all
you're,
right.
You're a fan of power.
All right, and as for me, no, I just want to shout out to all the fans, like I was doing at the beginning of the episode, that are doing what they do of sharing their unique visions, projects, sharing the love, their posts. I just love reading and seeing what they do every day, and it's fans like that that just keep the property alive one way or another. And yep, I just thank everybody for that.
All right, sounds good. All right, so now it's my turn. Just want to let everybody know that we did start up a Twitter page. You can with the Twitter handle the tic tac toe sign, real fans of power. You can contact us that way. We have we just put into effect in the last week an Instagram page, fans of power. You can get us there. You can always check us out over at popculturenetwork.com. You can always check out this or past episodes at fansofpower.com. You can always check out the 80s Masters Facebook page. You can always check out HeManWorld.com for up to speed stuff on all things He-Man. You can always check out the all-encompassing group that all three of us are a part of. You know, with that being said, you know, rock on, man. And, you know, we'll catch you again next week.
Have a powerful day. Say it. Say it!
I have to keep up the momentum there. And I'm just going to continue rocking 87 and say good journey.
There you go.